So I've given you this introduction to do with Borobudur to give you the idea of a structure, okay, but not just any old structure, a sort of a systematic Buddhist spiritual structure which has its own meaning. And it seems to me that every human being has an urge to make sense of their lives, and they need a framework. They need a structure to do this. And Buddhists also need a structure. Buddhists, in addition to the structure to make sense of their lives, need a structure for deciding how to practice as well, what to do. So from a Buddhist point of view, we have the Dharma as teaching, the teachings of the Dharma, which provide a structure for understanding our lives, understanding the universe. And we can draw on the whole Buddhist tradition. That's one of the great things about the Aftalabhya. We're not restricted to one part of it. We can draw for this structure on the whole Buddhist tradition. But it all boils down, in the end, to conditioned co-production in the form of the wheel and conditioned co-production in the form of the spiral path. And then you get to, this is understanding the structure, understanding the framework, the meaning, but then you've got to decide how to practice. And that one can't be made so general, because it is very much specific to each person, what practice to do. So how do you decide how to practice? Well, you could try to construct the structure of your practice yourself. You could pick it out from everything that is on offer in this wonderful Buddhist cash and carry world that exists nowadays, on the internet, in all these different centres, in the many, many books that are available, the many teachers and so on. You could go on various retreats, you could read, you could talk to teachers, and it might work, and it might be successful, or it might not. But, of course, the traditional way, as Padmavajra mentioned this morning, is to join a living sangha and start to systematically follow its disciplines of how to live, its disciplines of how to meditate. And this sangha that you join will have a system of spiritual discipline. I mean, discipline is a funny word, isn't it? I hope it doesn't put you off. I hope it doesn't make you think of school detentions. But what I'm talking about is setting up a process of training and setting up a set of appropriate conditions. That's all we mean by the system of discipline. And this process of training, these conditions, eventually are designed to turn you or me from an unenlightened human being into an enlightened human being. That's what they're for. Even a great work of art, incidentally, the kind of work of art that really changes you can be a system of discipline. I'm not sure why I put this in here, but it just really struck me that a great poem can itself be a system of spiritual discipline that takes you through spiritual levels. At least this is according to Edmund Spenser. Do you know Edmund Spenser, the great English poet, contemporary of Shakespeare? His great work, his life work, was The Faerie Queen. And the preface that he wrote to this, saying what he was trying to do with it, he says, this is 1596 he's writing, he says, "The general end of this book is to fashion a noble person in virtuous and gentle discipline." The general end of this book is to fashion a noble person in virtuous and gentle discipline. And I think a Buddhist system of spiritual discipline is trying to do the same thing. It's trying to fashion a noble person. I like that. But the system needs to be comprehensive. It needs to cover all the sides of the unenlightened human being. It needs to cultivate all the qualities that make up an enlightened human being. And it also, as well as being comprehensive, it needs to be progressive, systematic in that way. It needs to make the right methods available at the right time in your spiritual progress. And also, it needs to cover all your sides, all sides of you, doesn't it? It needs to have a mandala of practices, in other words. And it needs to cover all the stages. It needs to have a path of practice. So it needs to be both a mandala and a path, covering all your sides and all the stages of the path. And Buddhist tradition has practices available that cover all aspects. It's got many formulations of the path as well. These are very, very available. And all of these different traditions, in principle, are the same thing, I would say. But it seems to make quite a difference which one you adopt, though. I mean, because I know people who've tried different approaches. It makes a difference as to whether you get stuck somewhere. It makes a difference as to whether something may be missing for you. Well, so you need to look at it. You need to actually decide what the system of spiritual discipline you're trying to follow is. And the mandala of practices, or the path of practices, they can both be seen in their basic Buddhist forms in Borobudur, in the great mandala cum stupa at Borobudur. And I'm just going to mention this very, very broadly. But very broadly speaking, you could say that those carvings round the bottom of the stupa, that most of them are now hidden for a reason I won't go into now, they show the results of actions. They are about the necessity for self-knowledge. They show the ethical awareness that comes from self-knowledge. That, in a way, is what Borobudur says you need right from the start. And then all these depictions of the spiritual lives of the Buddha and his disciples, and indeed Sudhana's spiritual quest, they show the necessity for self-cultivation and the lessons on how to cultivate oneself that come from the lives of others. Generating spiritual qualities is what you need after self-knowledge. And then breaking out into the open at the top of Borobudur, seeing the view all around, encountering these Buddhas half hidden inside stupas. This is about opening up to reality. Now, as for the half-completed Buddha inside the central stupa, the very culminating point of the stupa, well, I'll say something about that later and even about what comes after that as well. Okay, now, in the FWBO, there is a particular system of spiritual discipline. It is traditional, but it's also based on Bante's insight and experience, plus 35 years of trial and error in the Friends. And this means it is, although traditional, it is unique to the FWBO, although it's interesting that many other Buddhist movements are taking up methods and approaches that we use more and more, as far as I can gather, because they do seem quite suitable to life as it is in the world today.